Welcome to another episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast, where we focus on Spanish wine, a very important part of this country's culture. Today we are featuring wines from around the capital, Madrid. And of course, one can have a sort of knee-jerk reaction, a negative reaction to the ideas of ordering wine from DO Vinos de Madrid, figuring that the land surrounding the third largest city in Europe probably isn't the most suitable for making fine wine. It's just not up to snuff. And it's understandable. You will hear wines from Madrid and think to yourself, it must be some kind of joke. But that couldn't be further from the truth. The fact is, Madrid as a region has a lot of excellent qualities that make it a great place for viticulture, that is wine grape growing, as well as viniculture, wine making. The soil, the climate for one, then there is an abundant amount of underground water that exists in the whole region of Madrid. Not everyone knows that, but there is a lot of it, and it's very important. Because we know whenever the conditions are right and you live in a country like Spain, you know someone out there has planted some vineyards and set up a bodega. And in the case of Madrid, it's been like that for a very long time, all the way back quite possibly to the 12th century. That's when the first vineyards were reputedly planted. Though you never know, because it may have been earlier. We all know that the Romans were around this part of the country, and whenever there are Romans, there are also vineyards, so the tradition may go back even further than that. The art of winemaking continued throughout the Middle Ages. Mentions of the wine from the towns around the Villa of Madrid appeared in the 13th century onward. Now, it's important to remember that back then, Madrid was little more than maybe a big town, somewhat strategically located between Toledo to the south and Segovia to the north, some of the other more important cities. In 1561, Madrid became the capital of Spain, that is, the court pretty much settled there permanently for the most part, and ever since then there has been a growing need to keep the city well supplied with wine as the population itself grew. Nearby towns with the old tradition of winemaking included Navalcarnero, San Martin de Valdeiglesias, that's to the west, and Colmenar de Oreja. The vineyards in Navalcarnero, for example, were planted for the first time in 1340. Even then, there wasn't even a town there yet. But there was winemaking. The town wasn't even incorporated, I believe, until 1499. The wines there were highly prized. It is also said that the court of Felipe IV, we are talking about the middle of the 17th century, was especially fond of the local wine, so there was plenty of it, and that shouldn't really come as any surprise, as wine was sort of a staple in the diet. Wines didn't just come from the nearby villages, but the city itself. In 1665, it is said that there were 63 winemakers in Madrid. They had to adhere, apparently, to a strict winemaking process. Vineyards were located in what would have been the center of Madrid, and what is the center today, definitely, as well as along the Castellana, which is the main avenue that runs north-south in the city. It basically splits Madrid in half. And that would have made sense because there was a stream that flowed down what is today La Castellana. Madrid today has a reputation as a city with an extremely lively nightlife, bar life. There are close to 20,000 bars and restaurants in the capital alone. But I'm here to tell you that it's not just a recent phenomenon. Back in 1600, the situation was much the same, even though for a much smaller population. But one writer observed in verse, they said, "That's Madrid, wild city, which if you add up the old and the new, has 300 taverns in all, and just one bookshop." It sounds better in Spanish, but that's basically the gist. The years went by and production continued. It was life as usual. Then the much-detested phylloxera made its presence known around 1914, and did the usual damage. But that was just the beginning of the problems for this region. The Spanish Civil War laid waste to many of the vineyards surrounding the city. And then after the war, starting in the 1950s, Madrid began to grow almost exponentially as thousands and thousands of migrants from rural Spain flocked to the capital in search of employment and a better life. The neighborhoods in the city popped up like mushrooms, and then around the city, bedroom communities, villages, former villages like Leganés, Getafe, and Móstoles, which are today virtual cities with populations of 180,000, 200,000 inhabitants, basically obliterated acres and acres of cropland, including the vineyards. On top of that, wine drinking habits changed. That is, cheap wine sold in bulk, which made up the bulk of the production, and the commercialization was becoming less popular. What do I mean by that? Well, what people used to do a lot of times would be going to a wine store known as a bodega with an empty bottle, and they would fill it up from this large container. Okay, there aren't many of these places around today, but some do exist. There's actually one not far from where I live. They sell bulk wine from Jumilla, which is from the south of Spain. So that tradition still barely survives, but back then it was a big deal. Soon, though, people started drinking less wine, but higher quality, and that basically meant bottled wine. So the winemakers from the regions, the areas around the capital, needed to make some serious adjustments. One, revamping and modernizing the vineyards. Two, bottling their wine. Three, aging the wine to produce crianzas and reservas. And basically flexing their muscles, improving to the local population what the winemakers were capable of doing. Now, this is true of most wine regions in Spain, and Madrid was no exception. The DO, the official wine region, was established in 1990, and it's called Vinos de Madrid, Wines from Madrid. The region is divided into four subzones. Now, this is a peculiarity of this DO because a lot of other regions aren't like that. They don't have that subdivision. But in Madrid, that's the case. And a lot of it is for historical reasons. Anyway, one sub-region is called Arganda del Rey. That's located to the east and southeast of Madrid. There are many towns and many wineries there. Then you have the subzones of Navalcarnero and San Martín de Valdeiglesias to the west. Also, a handful of towns making some very good wine there. And finally, you have the most recent incorporation, which is El Molar, another region with an old tradition. There are these restaurants with caves. The caves are often used for preserving the wine, and that's about 40 kilometers to the north of the city. This one actually surprised me because as you're getting closer to the mountains, you think it's probably not the perfect climate for winemaking. But the tradition is there, and there are more and more wines coming from that part, and they're nice. I think they're lighter bodied and quite good. The region is probably a little more well known for its red wine, made mostly from Tempranillo and Garnacha. Sometimes they'll add a little bit of Cabernet or Merlot or Syrah. But it also makes some pretty decent white wine from local varieties like Malvar and Albillo. And some wineries even make a pretty popular semi-sweet white wine, if you're into sweeter wine, but not something too sweet. Nowadays, the region has nearly 22,000 acres of vineyards, with over 50 wineries working hard to produce their wines. Now it's just up to them to convince the consumer. Right now, Madrid is making some excellent wine, and you can find bottles from the region in almost any supermarket, definitely most wine shops. Many bars and restaurants offer wines from the DO and will feature the finer choices. Progress had been a little bit slow at first, but the end result has been very positive, And lately, their popularity seems to have really taken off. You can find them all over the place. Their proximity to the capital has also, no doubt, been a beneficial factor too, if you ask me. In general, the prices are very reasonable. I'd say you can find a lot of wines anywhere from the 2 or 3 euros to 10 euros. Then there are some higher end options going into 15, 20, 25, 30 euros, even more expensive than that. But most are within reason, and the higher end stuff is really good. So if you feel like splurging a little bit, I don't think you'd be disappointed. And another good thing is that the wineries are just a stone's throw away from the capital, meaning visiting them is pretty convenient if you have a chance. The best thing would probably be to have a car, I'd say. But anyway, many are small family-run operations, so you have to be a little patient sometimes about working out a time. But the effort is well worth it. I always recommend going to wineries. That's where you find the essence of this industry. And winemakers are often delighted to talk about their wine and show you what they do. I think it's a terrific part of the Spanish cultural experience. So, remember, no turning your nose up at wines from Madrid. They form a part of a bona fide region with a long tradition and a desire for making quality wine and the means to achieve their goals. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And that'll be all for today. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us on a regular basis, you can do that by checking us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.